Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, for the past couple of weeks, we've been doing a bit of a series, 6 or 7 weeks, where we look at the various parts of songs and the great moments in them. For instance, we've had great guitar moments, great vocals, great brass parts, and now for this week that does be in it, the passing of Rolling Stones drummer Charlie Watts. Today we're going to take a look at great drum moments in song. I picked one, and Johnny Boyle is here, he's picked 40.
I sure have.
So I'll tell you what, like, this is just one here, because this is like one of the most famous. I'm not even sure how much I like drum solos and things, but it gets to it now soon. But John Bonham, Led Zeppelin, that track there is called Moby Dick. Will you take a listen to this? Are you ready? Hold on.
This goes on now for about 10 minutes. It does go on for quite a long time.
I'll tell you
time.
What, there is one thing though. If we're talking about drums and drum solos and things, it really, if I was to use examples, they'd nearly all have to be live, wouldn't they? Because in the studio you're kind of controlled, but you let go on stage.
Oh, well, you've got it. I mean, funnily enough, I actually play in a Led Zeppelin band and we do the Sugar Club every year.
What?
A whole lot of Zepp, but it's with three drummers because it takes three of us to sound as big as John Bonham.
Well, that kind of sums it up. That here, let's take a blast. Hold on. I'm not going to make it go for 10 minutes. You know, this is unusual. As I say, this is a live kind of thing usually. It's unusual to have that on a studio track, isn't it? For a guy just to let him go, you know, we'll go off and make the tea.
Generally doesn't happen on records, drum solos, you know. And I mean, what he's playing there, he's actually playing the kit with his hands. So he hasn't even introduced the sticks yet. So he's getting different tones out of the snare.
Oh my God, wait for the sticks.
So yeah, so
the four sticks.
But I mean, you know, Bonham is just one of the greats. There's no comparison to him when it comes to rock drumming.
All right, well look, Johnny Boyle is here, and he's the drum tutor at BIMM and drummer from Irish band Picture House as well. And let's start at the beginning. Do you want to give us a bit of history while John Bonham is doing his thing there, and like the birth of the drum kit? Where did it all begin?
Well, I suppose rhythm originated in Africa with the clave rhythm, and clave means key, so the key to the rhythm. So I think the first most recognisable rhythm is the son clave, which is... You will hear that across so many songs, even subliminally, or, you know, it's there, it's in everything. And that kind of rhythm, you know, it was kind of brought to, like, New Orleans, where, you know, that rhythm then was kind of brought into, like, second line drumming. You know, if anyone's seen Live and Let Die, you'll know the opening scene, there's a funeral procession and you've got one guy on the snare, one guy on a bass drum, and then you've got all these horn players, and you know, this was called second line drumming because again it had the
and suddenly then when they kill the guy who's standing there who's an agent, they stick him in and then they get all happy about it.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And you know, so that rhythm was kind of played, and that's where kind of swing and Dixieland came. But in around 1909 the Ludwig Company created the first drum kit. But I think because you had one guy playing a bass drum and one guy playing a snare, I think maybe the bass drum player didn't show up one day. So I think Baby Dodds had the bright idea of maybe I could put both of these drums together. And they constructed this pedal. So now all of a sudden you had the first working drum kit and one guy out of a job. Because, you know, now you could hit the bass drum with your foot, play the snare. And then they introduced things like wood blocks and cymbals. And this kind of fed into, you know, jazz. This is where jazz came along, and all of that swing kind of music. But the clave rhythm can be heard across, for example, the Bo Diddley beat. That comes from the clave rhythm. I don't know if you have it there.
I do. Well, I have Bo Diddley. This is what you're talking about. Come on.
Ba, 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 ba.
That's more of a shuffle, is it? No, well, no, well, I knew I'd be wrong.
Well,
I mean, the word going, I know nothing about drumming.
Well, the second line stuff did swing. It kind of played, it was somewhere between swung and straight, and what they call it is in the cracks. So you're playing somewhere in between. So, you know, and you've got songs like Not Fade Away by Buddy Holly, which has the exact same rhythm as well.
Or even the Stones.
The Stones are the faster version of Not Fade Away. You know, this is great. Down, 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 down. I wanna tell you how it
So in other words, what you're saying is that the clave rhythm started in Africa but can be heard across so much popular music today and from the
absolutely. Well, you past, yeah. fast forward to, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, you've got Desire by U2. Same rhythm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Total Bo Diddley rip. Oh, sorry. Homage. That's one of their great singles.
It is.
One of the greatest. It really is.
It's a great single off a slightly patchy album, but, you know.
It's one of my favourite albums of theirs, actually. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Rattle Home.
Home, yeah. I love double albums. I love, like, when you on some tracks, some people think, you know, unnecessary. That's not the point. This is a fantastic, full piece of work from somebody. Exile on Main Street, The Lodge, you know.
Yeah, true.
So, okay, there's loads of things coming in at 51552. UB40, 1 in 10, you know. 51552, great drum moments and songs. Johnny is here, Johnny Boyle, and he's taking through us all. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do with all this now?
All right, well, can we hear a bit of Break On Through with The Doors?
Yeah, Break On Through to the other side.
So you've got the rumba, you've got the clave. The rumba rhythm means party. So here at the start. Da, da, da. You know the day destroys the night. Again, that's a rumba kind of pattern. Or a bossa nova, actually. Kind of like a bossa nova. So, you know, that would have been probably stolen from the girl from Ipanema, the Stan Getz track from the 60s, early 60s.
Okay, what about, like, of names that might come through of people's favourite drummers? Your man from Toto, who seems to be, even if people don't like Toto.
Jeff Beccaro. Rosanna is one of the great songs. And Africa. Actually, speaking of the clave, you know the song Africa with Toto, when it goes into the chorus, he plays this fill, it goes bam, 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 bam. It's the clave rhythm again.
Oh, damn, I lined up Rosanna instead.
Well, we can go to Rosanna. We can go to Rosanna because it is one of the great drum beats. So the bass drum playing, same thing, clave again. Wake up in the morning and see your eyes. Rosanna, Rosanna. Never thought that a girl like you could ever care for me. You've got an obscure enough track here from Steely Dan's Asia album. Why is Home at Last? Who is it, by the way? Okay, so the beat to Rosanna was taken from what's known as the Purdy Shuffle. Bernard Purdy was a very famous drummer, playing lots of hit records, and he would have played on these early Steely Dan records, and particularly Asia. So he came up with this shuffle, where basically a blues shuffle is dun 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 dun, one, two, three, whereas the backbeat here is put on the third beat.
Wow.
So two, three, four, one, two. In he comes now. One, two. In there. So, through the evolution of music, basically, Jeff Beccaro took the top line of what he's doing there, and he put the clave pattern on the bass drum underneath, and then he came up with the groove for Rosanna. So, we are all plagiarists, and we all are stealing, you know, it's a bit like baking a cake and taking the ingredients from other things, you know?
I do.
But that swings, you know, there's a swing and a shuffle to that. But I suppose we could talk about moving into the 50s where... up to that point.
Well, hold on, just before you do, let's stay with something else.
Okay, sure.
I mean, not modern, but certainly way past the 50s. Slave to the Rhythm, Grace Jones.
Slave to the Rhythm has a kind of broken shuffle, but again, it's apparent in the song, in the backbeat, you know? Another great song. A lot faster.
So wait a minute, is there a correlation between that and the Steely Dan one in terms of
Your hi-hat's gone, which comes from blues, you know, pretty much. It's like a blues shuffle. So, you know, that's giving it the swing, is what's playing on the hi-hat. That kind of thing. I'm going to make a lot of drummer noises, if that's okay.
Absolutely, because I need you to pick them out. I mean, it's not that easy necessarily to do that sometimes. Well, no, what great headphones I have.
It's
you know?
Just to make it kind of, I suppose, palatable to your listeners out there so they
absolutely.
Know.
By the way, 51552 is the text, and Johnny is here taking us through it all, as I say. It's, 17 minutes past? Okay, we're doing fine. So that's Slave to the Rhythm, Grace Jones. And by the way, speaking of the rhythm, I mean, you are on the bass player. It's you too, isn't it? The rhythm.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
In other words, every band would be lost without you.
Oh, well, you're only as good as your drummer. Who did I see?
Was it at the stadium in Dublin? Was it John Mayall? He didn't have a drummer. Was it John Mayall? I think it was, yeah. No, and it was great. Sorry, you weren't needed.
I know lots of bands that prefer not to have a drummer. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, we should have a section of drummer jokes soon. Okay, I mean, like, we did play Led Zeppelin earlier on, which I think one of the most famous ones would have to be Moby Dick. But, I mean, what about Fool in the Rain? Where does that take us?
Well, Fool in the Rain, again, is the shuffle. So Bonham would have taken that from, you know, potentially Bernard Purdy, you know, again, from the Steely Dan stuff. So there you can hear the hi-hats. So it's swinging, you know? But he made it his own by kind of opening the hat there, and you get this swish sound there. One of the greatest grooves ever.
Yeah. It was In Through the Outdoor, one of those, yeah.
Yeah.
But John Bonham was up there because he was so upfront in the sound as well. You know?
Well, he just... Nobody's drums sounded like his.
Yeah.
I mean, his drums...
He used to be out in the Jacks, wasn't he? When they were all in the studio, like all different kind of sounds coming from various parts of whatever manner
Absolutely.
They were recording.
They'd have him in the hallway.
Yeah, hanging down from...
Mics exactly. over the stairs and stuff like that, which is when the levee breaks. Which
Johnny, you were going to go back to the 1950s, and what was the train beat? Tell me about that.
Well, the train beat, kind of, when you listen to, you know, Folsom Prison Blues, okay? So the train beat is supposed to... So it got that name because it's chugging along and it has a kind of chicka 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 chicka, you know, kind of feel to it. You know, so that's your train beat. So that's kind of straight, whereas in 50s rock and roll, like Elvis's kind of stuff, Hound Dog, Jailhouse Rock, it swung a lot more. It was more like, do you remember Jive Bunny? Do you remember that? Come on, everybody, you know. Well, I know it's a terrible reference, but, you know, to give people an idea of what that beat was, you know.
Yeah.
And again, very much affiliated with rock and roll and country music, you know. But it very much got inherited in the 70s in the glam rock. There's a lot of glam rock that uses the train. But such as Ballroom Blitz, you know, which is a perfect example. High energy.
By the Sweet.
You know,
yeah. Okay, and you have this one, Willie Nelson.
Same beat. So it's chugging along there, you know?
Yeah, it is.
This is a song we all play heading out to gigs, you know?
Yeah, I bet you haven't been playing this for a while then.
No, certainly not, though. Yeah, crying at home listening to it.
Yeah, right. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the one that I just mentioned there besides. That's Willie Nelson on the Road Again. Here it is now, you say, kind of all punked up and fasted up. Yeah. Are you ready to go? Are you ready, Steve?
Here we go.
God, I got it right. It was Steve first. I haven't heard it for 100 years.
So a lot of these 70s drummers and 60s drummers, your Ringos, your Charlie Watts, they knew how to swing because they all grew up listening to big band jazz. They were listening to Elvin Jones and Gene Krupa and Buddy Rich. So, you know, that was kind of their musical taste growing up. And then obviously rock and roll came about. These guys could inherently swing really well. But then it did start to straighten out, you know, with guys like Little Richard and Chuck Berry.
Right. Okay, by the way, here's the text here. Mick Fleetwood Live is unreal. There's a bunch of people mentioning drummers all the time here. But here's one here that actually really appeals to me because two tracks that I would absolutely say, yeah. And this is from Derek McHugh. And he says, Rain by the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
That changed everything in 65, Beatles. It's just, the lyrics were about kind of not Moon and June or Walk and Talk. And they were like... I don't know, Ray Davies or something, talking about the English people and what they do. But the sound of Ringo's drum. I read or heard somewhere that Ringo said that he felt possessed or something when he was playing it. Also, Since I've Been Loving You by Led Zeppelin, which is my favourite Led Zeppelin song,
wow,
has great drumming. And it really does, because when it gets from, I don't know what you call it, like from one time change to another at one stage, it's just John Bonham thrashing this thing to get you up there.
Yeah,
like a hoosh from
it goes double
back,
time,
you know,
at one point. It gets really intensified.
Oh, I didn't realise that. Sorry, let me start that again. You see, it goes double time at one point.
I think it does.
I'm sure it does.
It probably does. If it's Bonham, it does.
But
going back to Rain, what's mad about Rain, it's probably one of Ringo's busiest drum takes. He plays a fill on every bar. He literally just every time, you know. And so it's a really, really busy and one of my favourite drum takes of his. I mean, I could bang on about Ringo all day. You know, I've played with the Classic Beatles for years. I used to wear the wig and we actually performed in front of George Martin, which was brilliant, you know.
You've played in all the bands. When you play the Classic Beatles, do you go off at one stage and come back on, this time dressed all kind of Sergeant Pepper's?
All the Pepper's
gear.
Just fill in for my good mate Binzer Brennan, drummer. And, you know, Binzer, unfortunately, there would be nights where he would be wearing the wig the night before.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Come on, Johnny.
That was my least favourite bit.
Absolutely. You know, I was at the, what do you call it, in the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland in Ohio about 3 years ago. And there's all this kind of a Pink Floyd bit over here and the Sex Pistols. But there's a whole Beatles section, obviously. But they have Ringo's drums from when he played at Shea Stadium.
Okay.
And they are the size of a small dustbin. It's ridiculous.
They're smaller sizes. I actually have the exact same kit in the same finish at home.
Here's one here that says November Rain, a Guns N' Roses thing. I wouldn't even know the drum was it good in
Matt
that.
Matt Sorum played on that, Appetite for Destruction is their best records. You know, November Rain. Actually, the version Live and Let Die was okay, but there was another song, You Could Be Mine, actually. That was a great track off that record. Really good drumming, and that has a great drum intro in it as well.
Well, speaking of drums intro, because this has everything going, I'm going to play you this here. Sorry, we're back to John Bonham again.
Everything goes back to John Bonham.
There.
Okay. He nicked it.
You're allowed Nick, you just said.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But he appropriated it.
He appropriated that from a Little Richard song.
Oh, really?
If you listen to You Keep a Knockin', has a drum intro that's
like that Dave Edmonds then stole and got to number one on the charts.
That's it, you know. But this is swinging, you see. There's a swing to this which is very. That's such a hard song to play for a drummer.
Why? You're not just going very fast.
he's playing the same thing with his left hand as he is with his right hand. So he's going, it's like a Texas shuffle, but it's somewhere between swung and straight. And obviously your hands need to be, you know, your stamina needs to be up in your technique to
there
play that. I've tried. I'm about 80% there with that, but
really?
That song will mystify me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it just keeps coming back to John Bonham, doesn't it? Okay, I'll tell you now. You mentioned Little Richard, Keep a Knockin'. Hold on. Yeah. Oh no, that's not what I hear you knocking. Okay, fine, hold on, listen. Look, it's brilliant. Listen,
Simmers.
No, listen, look. Exact same. Look, there's Led Zeppelin. Here's Little Richard. So who's playing drums on that?
It could be Charles Connor.
Right.
A guy called Charles Connor, but Earl Palmer.
Right.
So Earl Palmer became Little Richard's most recognisable drummer, and this is where the swing started to go straight, because guys like Chuck Berry, I mean, that drum intro to Rock and Roll is the same as the intro to Johnny B. Goode, and loads of drummers don't know how to play that because they don't know where the beat starts, but you know where drumming started to straighten out with the straight eights kind of came from Little Richard's right hand going da 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 on the piano.
All right, yeah.
So that's where the drummer started to play a lot straighter.
I can't believe there isn't one text in saying more cowbell, please.
You can never have enough cowbell. I got a fever.
Here, I'll tell you what, look, we have to keep staying Led Zeppelin because I've got When the Levee Breaks here.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so, like, I mean, the track itself now can go on a bit, but, you know.
It does go on, but it's. Listen to that.
Actually, hold on, I missed a bit. Oh, that's fantastic. All the same, what am I saying? Did I actually give it about that? Hold on a second, listen. You know, I have to admit, I saw him at the stadium.
Oh, no way.
I saw Led Zeppelin at the stadium in Dublin, and they were promoting Led Zeppelin 4 at the time. They had just done 1, 2 and 3, and 3 was my favourite, so whatever, because Since I've Been Loving You was on that too. And, second time they've ever played Stairway to Heaven in the history of the world. They played it in Belfast the night before, all that. But John Bonham, directly down there. I was on this thing, directly down, and he had this huge gong, a massive big dinner gong in the jungle kind of thing, you know, whacking it all the time, playing When the Levee Breaks as well.
Amazing.
I mean, I don't really remember much of the gig, to be perfectly honest. What do you call him? Jimmy Page had a twin neck guitar and he used a bow.
Oh, wow, fantastic. Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
Okay, go on, tell me more. Where am I going next?
All right, okay, well, When the Levee Breaks, one of the most sampled drum beats of all time. Again, like the clave, you're going to hear that in music without even knowing. So, you know, a great example of with sampling in the 80s and 90s, they would take that beat and they would manipulate it and they might bring up the snare or bring up the bass drum or, you know, so if you listen to a song like Bjork's Army of Me,
I will.
You'll hear the snare drum, you'll just hear it right there. That's the Levee Breaks snare sound there. So that's being manipulated, sped up, you know, and they've kind of cut out some of the bass frequencies and added their own programming on top of that.
All right. By the way, 51552 is our text. And we're getting through it. It's fantastic. I'm loving it all.
I think this is the second most sampled drum beat of all time. Another great tune is off Mezzanine, Massive Attack's Mezzanine, which is Man Next Door, you know, which you can hear at the start. That's the snare sound right there. Great tune, great album. So they've slowed it down there a little bit more from the original recording, you know, it's kind of a bit more trippy, you know?
Yeah, there's one there, more cowbell, please. I thought, maybe I wasn't looking at it earlier properly, yeah. What was I going to say? Phil Collins, the Cadbury's ad. God, it's now become the Cadbury's ad. We'll get to that, I'm sure, at some stage.
I actually know the guy who was in the gorilla suit. I think he's a tutor in BIM over in the UK who was in that ad. With the
really?
Yeah, I do. I know.
You know the real drummer, not Phil Collins.
Not Phil Collins,
fantastic.
I know the gorilla.
Because the gorilla's more famous.
Yes, exactly.
I love it.
Much more impressive.
Brilliant. Okay, so where am I going here?
Well, another very popular, massive hit was Sophie B. Hawkins' Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover. Again, that When the Levee Breaks is sampled. It's across thousands of songs.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Okay, let me try a bit of that.
Now it's sped up here, you see. It's always the snare sound that gives it away, you know?
Have you got a massive big drum kit?
No, I like small drum kits.
Oh, do you?
You know, less is the new more.
Do you know that kind of thing? Though? Who did I see on stage once? And was it Ray Cooper or one of those? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like he's standing, or somebody was standing here and they've got drums up above their head, like, and then the other guy on the right hand side of the drums, well, and they're just banging away the two of them. And,
yeah, he'd be a percussionist.
I don't know who that was.
Yeah, he was probably playing with like Elton John or Clapton or one of those.
Definitely Ray. I saw him with Elton John again in the stadium, actually, yeah.
He's a great percussionist.
Yeah. Okay, so. Where do you want to go next then? That's Sophie B. Hawkins. I Wish I Was Your Lover.
Well, we could talk about the most sampled drum beat of all time, which is
James Brown, the funky drummer. So who was the drummer?
Clyde Stubblefield and John Jabbo Starks.
I'm glad I asked that.
One, two, three, four, get it!
Now.
Ain't it funky?
Okay, so that is the most sampled drum beat, without question, of all time. And coincidentally, this is where musicians started to get royalties for albums they played on, because this was sampled so much that Clyde Stubblefield never saw a penny. So they had to, you know, fight to actually say, well, look, if you're using what I played, surely a royalty should come my way, you know? Sadly, he's passed away now. But, I mean, examples of this is a perfect example. George Michael's Freedom, you know? It's all over. That beat is all over that song. And he actually used it again on the Listen Without Prejudice record on a track called Waiting for That Day. So he's used it twice, and it's a huge feature of that song, you know?
And here's Cold Sweat, James Brown.
Come on, come on, come on. You gotta come. this is the birth of funk drumming. So most drum beats, the snare drum's on the 2 and the 4. He put it, displaced it on the and the 4. So it's like, there. And that completely revolutionised the way drums were played, you know?
Wow. Okay. And when you mentioned George Michael, Freedom 90?
So the minute the drums kick in here, it's the funky drummer.
The thing I mentioned about like the energy and the kind of improvisation of the drum solo, it's really live when that happens, isn't it?
I mean, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Again, I mean, what?
You have to mind your manners in the studio, but they can say to hell with you guys, go off and make your tea, it's my turn now.
The drum solo is like, for some people like me, it's the most frightening thing you ever have to do, because I'm used to having four or five guys around me playing together, and then all of a sudden the spotlight's on you, and that's something we do at the Zeppelin gig, and every year, suffer from serious anxiety before, because I know I have to do, and I'm also up against two phenomenal drummers as well. So we're doing our best to put on a good show, but also people just want to hear you play as fast as you can, loads of cymbals, and you know, we take a solo that lasts about a minute each, and we go around and we take about three each, and then we play together and we start throwing drumsticks at each other, and you know, and it's great fun to do, you know, it's great to honour the music of Led Zeppelin, and it's a really authentic band, but I mean, it takes 10 of us to sound like, you know, four.
That's
people,
all right.
Zeppelin,
nothing,
you know?
Wrong with that if you get the sound. What's the name of the band?
A Whole Lot of Zepp.
A Whole Lot of Zepp. Yeah. Okay, very good. I like it. Okay, now there's a few here. It just mentions, I better play that in the air tonight, all right. More Cowbell, another one. Okay, the Great Train. Oh, sorry, the Great Brian Downey of Thin Lizzy on Bad Reputation, best Irish drummer ever. So I'll play that. Also, is it Ryan and Stephen by the Beastie Boys? It samples When the Levee Breaks.
I didn't know
that.
Sinead O'Connor from her first album, I'm Stretching Your Grave.
Here, I'll give you that.
There it is. You know, anyone that did a remix in the 80s, 90s, you could be sure that was going on it somewhere, you know, whether it was sped up, slowed down. And that's a huge feature of the song.
Huge.
I mean, it's her vocal and it's that loop. That's what it is.
You gives
know?
You the whole sound, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of rappers. The rap was the big thing that was used in as well in the 90s. Like, you know, big one would have been Public Enemy's Fight the Power. It's really prominent in that song.
Of course.
And then you go, you know, into more commercial territory. You've got, like, you know, En Vogue's My Lovin'. You know, again, it's another feature on that, you know.
Okay, I'll go for that in a second or two, but we're going to take a quick break and... this is great. It's a real lesson for me, I can tell you this. Because, I mean, is this what you do in BIM? Like, were you teaching the... teaching the people.
Well, I teach music styles, so you know, I've learned a lot about music history and the evolution of music styles, and it's been massively beneficial to me.
Yeah. So when I said earlier, Johnny Boyle, a drum tutor at BIMM and drummer from Irish band Picture House, and drummer from a Whole Lot of Zepp, and drummer from, is there another one? Yeah. The Beatles one.
The classic Beatles. I can mention more. Lear, A House.
Yeah. No, but I was thinking of the cover bands, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I've played with lots of cover bands, but I've played with a lot of original bands as well. I've been very lucky to play with some of the people I played with, you know.
Oh, listen, we'll take a break and come back. 51552. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM. Now, BIMM is the school in Dublin. I'm going to call it a school for a second because that means there's exams and things like that. So look at this one here. Look, great hearing Johnny talking drums. He's had a huge influence himself as a drum educator in Ireland. His passion for playing has impacted so many young drummers, and his attitude and personality even more so. A gent. That's from Jim in Dublin. I'm just wondering, is Jim trying to get good marks in his exam? Sorry, Jim. I'm sure you really meant it. Obviously you did. The Unforgiven by Metallica and Under the Bridge with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. There's so many. Okay, listen, 51552. I will read out a few more. So where do you want to go? Look, how about this?
Get our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact,
I don't hear any drums on that.
They're coming.
Fight the power.
Here we go.
Ugh.
funky drummer there. Again, it's been manipulated, but perfectly suitable for that song.
The snare sound off the funky drummer on Vogue.
So that's been chopped there. So that's slightly a bit more manipulated. You can't really hear the snare, but it's kind of underneath. Sometimes they'll just blend in programming with
yeah,
that, you know?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But, well, how about this then? Look, Bill Withers.
Okay. For anyone that hasn't seen it, you've got to see him performing that in the Old Grey Whistle Test with James Gadson on drums. So James Gadson was like the kind of king of this groove in the 70s, you know, which is, it's a 16th note groove, right, where the hi-hat's going like, you know, which is very hard to do at a fast tempo, right? So he's playing that kind of subdivision, and, you know, so he became the go-to guy for this. I think actually James Gadson played on a Paddy Casey record at one point a few years ago. But if you listen to, like, Charles Wright, Express Yourself, same drummer. Hear that really fast hi-hat, which is played with one hand. Not easily done. Express yourself. And then you go like 40 years later and he's still getting hired. And he's on the Sea Change record with Beck on Paper Tiger. So that's much mellower. But essentially the same groove. So this was a huge influence on me. I don't know if you have it there. But I played on the first Duckworth Lewis Method record.
Oh, I love that album.
With Neil Hannon and Thomas Walsh. And actually, Neil was a bit dubious about me because I think he thought I was kind of a rock drummer, which I suppose I am, because we actually did a launch one night of a Pugwash record and they set Neil's keyboards up to the side of my drums. But we had Dave Gregory from XTC and guitar. We had Nelson Bragg from Beach Boys on percussion. It was a brilliant, brilliant night with a brilliant band. But I remember Neil saying to me, he's like, "Johnny, you're the loudest drummer I've ever played with in my entire life."
is that a compliment, by the way?
I don't really know.
You can take it that way. Well, here, I'll play that. This Duckworth Lewis Method. Is this you then?
This is the Night Watchman. And again, I had to give this a very delicate approach. And you know, it's the James Gadson influence that, you know, kind of steered me in the right direction for this. This has a touch of ELO about it as well, I think.
I'm night watchman, I lie awake, wondering what's gonna happen when the dawn breaks.
Neil is one of our greatest songwriters.
Oh, he is.
He's just
absolutely
phenomenal.
But the drumming on that, fantastic.
Look who that guy is.
I'm the night.
Okay, I tell you now, this was the only number one single for the Specials.
So there's a slight swing to this. There's a great show on Sky Arts, which was curated by Steve White, who's the drummer for Paul Weller and Style Council. And the drummer from, I think the original drummer for Bloc Party talks about this, because I think he now plays with the Specials because the original drummer passed away a few years ago. And, you know, he talks about how this kind of, you know, it's not straight, it's just got this slight swing to it, and the bass drum kind of has this heartbeat feel to it, and it's really peak. He'll describe it better than me. But it's called The Art of Drumming on Sky Arts, if anyone can kind of watch it. And it's a great way, if you're interested in drums, to find out about all these great songs and, you know, drummers' approaches and stuff like that.
You know, the next one I'm going to play is a band I saw live once. And actually, I wouldn't necessarily spend my night looking at the drummer, frankly. In fact, another one, in fact, can I just say that I saw on the stadium was Genesis, when the famous Supper's Ready thing and Fox's Head and all the rest, when he came out and freaked out the band. And the guy on the drums, like, was Phil Collins. I must say, I was never looking at him. But having said that, this is one that I was in. Ian Pace, Deep Purple.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Fireball.
Yeah. Just, he was fast.
He was. He still is. That's rocket.
It is.
It's rocket. This is double bass drumming, right? So this is, you're playing now bass drums with both of your feet. So you're going like, you know, yeah, you know. So right, left, kind of motion. And
yeah, I remember, like, he was sweating like a pig after one song. It was fantastic.
Such a really, really fast one. But the thing is, he doesn't play double bass drums, so they used to specifically just bring out an extra bass drum for this song. He'd play the song and then the roadie would just take it away, you know? So, you know.
Brilliant. Steve Gadd, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, great drum track. I once saw Johnny, that'd be you, play with Lear. Incredible energy. Seems to be 100 miles per hour all night. Here's a question. Do drummers have to stay fit to last a long set, says Stephen?
Yeah, to a certain degree.
Basically an acrid at the end of one.
Oh yeah, well, I love playing with Lear. They're just, it's, yeah. You know, their original drummer, Craig Hutchinson, was a really unique talent because he played open-handed. So like most drummers, your right hand is over your left. Whereas his left hand was open hand, is where you play that hi-hat with your left hand. There's very few drummers that play like that. Dave Hingerty would be one of those. Dave plays for Glenn Hanser, The Frames, and Bronagh Gallagher and Keela and stuff like that. And it's a quite a unique style.
Now, if I play this, I mean, seriously, can you hear Filthy Phil or whoever it is on drums on this thing here?
Okay.
Because, I mean, I anything I've ever heard, it's just Lemmy, etc., and the noise.
Oh, yeah, hold absolutely. On. This is great. So Filthy Phil used to go in earlier before the lads to just warm up, and he had this double bass drum and he was just playing that groove, and when they came in he stopped and they went, no, keep going, and they wrote a song around this drum beat. Never saw Motorhead live, which I would have loved to see. Okay, so you go into the 80s then, from like the Van Halen 1984 record, you've got Hot for Teacher. So this starts with a Harley Davidson engine, I believe. And then, so that's an engine.
That's cheating.
It's off a Harley. So now he starts to replicate that with his feet. The shredding, yeah.
Hot for Teacher, Van Halen. Now, this is a famous one. Are you ready for this?
Oh, God, I get goosebumps every time I hear that. That stair sound is insane. I've seen you two three times now, and that's, for me, that's, when I hear that live, that song just blows my mind. I think that's one of the most creative and interesting beats, Larry Mullen. But then you've got, second to that would be Sunday Bloody Sunday, where, you know, he does the whole marching thing, and, you know, that's a kind of, I mean, that's just, like, that's simple enough to play, but what he does with the notes and the level of creativity with that beat is, that's what makes Larry Mullen just an astounding drummer, you know? Because we were just doing some kind of heavy rock stuff there, and it would be nice to talk a wee bit about Brian Downey. I mean, obviously we're moving on to some Irish drummers here, which is great. I mean, Chinatown is just one of the greatest drum takes, I think, of all time. I just love this. So Downey is probably the most underrated drummer of all time. You know, you look at these Rolling Stones 100 greatest drummers, he's never on the list, and half of the drummers on those lists he would have influenced. He's essentially a blues drummer, but you know, but again, he can swing. I used to go watch him play in Slattery's when I was about 17, you know, and I never got to see him play with Lizzie, obviously, too. But seeing him play, and I've seen him play recently with his Live and Dangerous band, and he's still killing it, you know, at 70 odd years of age, you know.
And somebody mentioned this one here earlier on.
This is the greatest drum beat ever written. And any listeners can argue, or you can say, no, it's something else. No, this problem is all inside your head, she said to me. This is a style of drumming called linear drumming.
Who's that against? Steve
Gadd. Yeah. I mean, Steve, like the finesse, the way that's played. I'd like to help you. It's a particular style of drumming called linear, where no two limbs land at the same time. So you're constantly, he plays the snare, and it's just a certain movement that he does. But you know, any young drummer, aspiring drummer, needs to be able to play that and needs to be able to play Rosanna. That's kind of like their two staple songs that every drummer needs to learn.
By the way, we are talking about great drum moments and song with drummer Johnny Boyle, and it's 5-1, 5-5-2. We do have a few minutes left, so where'll I go?
Well, we were on Irish drummers, and I was thinking them.
Actually, somebody asked for this one a minute ago. Look. Tiny little.
Oh, yeah, bad reputation. I remember, you know the cover of Live and Dangerous? The drum kit.
Yeah.
Drum kit that's on that cover, I saw that in a lockup in a rehearsal space. I think one of Downey's sons had it.
With Philo's legs open, yeah, from Cork to Galway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. But it was just there in a lockup.
Sorry, Dublin to Galway.
But his kit was in rag order, and I was thinking, yeah, that thing needs to be restored and in a bloody, you know, a museum somewhere, you know?
Yeah. Here, okay, so I don't know where you want me to go, really, you know. Give me something else to play.
Well, if we're talking about Irish drummers, I mean, one of the great beats for me is Lay Me Down by The Frames. What makes this really special is it's played by Dave Hingerty, but he plays the kit with his hands. So, and because he plays an open-handed style, it kind of adds to the uniqueness of this groove. I played with The Frames for 4 years, and this was always a very, very difficult drum beat to replicate.
Finally, I'm lost. We were doing so well, I can't find it.
Oh, okay, that's all right. You can find it on Spotify. Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah.
You know? But,
If
we're rocking, do we have Tom Sawyer by Rush?
Oh, just keep talking, I'll find
it. Okay, because, Tom Sawyer. Actually,
oh, I have that, yeah. Okay. Hold on, Lay Me Down.
Phew. Okay, you got. Very interesting sound on drums. So, you know, I've spent many years as a session player for The Frames or for Marianne Faithfull, and ultimately you get all this material and you try to reproduce it or layer, you try to replicate it as best as possible. For me, and I try to kind of honour the drummers who played on it, you know what I mean? And,
yeah,
you know, so essentially you're trying to get under their skin, you know? And The Frames were always a great band to just, because they always, Graham Hopkins, Binzer Brennan, Dave Hingerty, their contribution to that band, from a drumming perspective, there's some great drumming on all those records, you know?
Okay, you did mention Rush, Tom Sawyer.
Yes, because there's a drum break in the middle. But, you know,
I'm not getting to the middle.
No, okay, well, okay. So the prog rockers, the thing about Rush is, right, if you ever see footage of the crowd, right, everyone's air drumming or they're air guitaring, and they know, like, the original recording of that, if you see Rush playing that song 30 years later, it's note for note the exact same, because all of their fans know every Rush song note for note.
Yeah.
There is a great band called...
But can they sing like Geddy?
getting up on those high notes. We do have our own Irish Rush tribute band, called 2112, and they're going to be playing the Button Factory in I think next July, and they're ones to watch out for, because the amount of work that goes in to putting an hour and a half set together, because prog rock is akin to classical music. There's tempo changes, mood changes, you know, stuff speeds up, slows down, you know, a drum fill starts and ends 15 minutes later, you know.
Listen, if I just throw a few at you, because we've only got about 6 or 7 minutes left, so just how about this? Walking on the Moon, The Police.
Yeah, you've got to mention
Stuart Copeland.
So there's very few drummers out there who just have such an identifiable style. You could probably,
and does he have an identifiable style?
Well, you could probably
style,
list five of them, you know, and he would certainly be one of them, because he took punk drumming and he kind of melded it together with reggae drumming, you know? And again, if you listen to the hi-hat, he's playing a slight shuffle on the hi-hat, and that goes back to the Purdy shuffle and blues and, you know...
How about Paul Weller's Sunflower?
So what's interesting about this song is Steve White plays what's called a paradiddle, right? Which is a very famous drumsticking, which is right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. So he's playing that between the floor tom and the snare drum. And it's just interesting to hear what's called a drum rudiment being utilised in a song, you know?
I heard somebody being described who's not all there. He's at least a paradiddle short of a drum solo. okay, that's Paul Weller's Sunflower. We got back to the Stones.
Okay, so Wild Horses. I saw footage. Some footage I saw online the other day, and it's Charlie Watts sitting in the studio, and he's just listening back to his drum take. And what's lovely, what's great about his simplistic style is that some drummers are kind of, they're not intrusive, you know what I mean? They just, you know, they're good backbone to the band. And they know when.
But the thing is, they do what they're supposed to be there for. They know their place.
Well, you know, the thing about it is you know, Jagger will sing a line, and then, you know, Watts will play like a little fill across the toms. So they're not stepping on each other's toes. You know, it's kind of like call and response, I suppose. You know. I bought them for you. But yeah, I was a Ringo guy, growing up as a kid. Abbey, for some reason, in my house, when we put on Abbey Road, the B side always went on first. You know, and listening to Ringo playing
come
that
together and done the 10 songs.
Yeah, you know, and but there's a short solo on that. Again, Ringo didn't like drum solos. You know, but two massive features in my house was that album and Dark Side of the Moon. And actually, coincidentally, I was in Abbey Road last February, just before everything locked down. We were mastering a record I played on. And my that's dad was
Nick Mason. You're talking
Nick Mason. Nick Mason and Ringo were the two that just got me thinking about drums. And and you know, a lot of records we listened to at home were all made in Abbey Road. So when I went over, you know, my dad was a musician as well. But I took some of his ashes and I snuck them into the gardens of Abbey Road, right? And I buried them in the gardens.
Brilliant.
Which is kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's very cool indeed. And Nick Mason's coming to Dublin, I think. He's been coming to play the convention centre.
Yeah, he's been coming to do something, but, you know.
He had a great album out called Fictitious Sports. Okay. Really good. I mean, seriously, a solo album by a drummer that was good. How many of those do you know?
Well, I did see him play with Roger Waters in the Marquee. Yeah. We did it with the Frames, and we went down the night before, and they brought him on. And they did all the Dark Side of the Moon. It was just phenomenal here.
Oh, look at all the stuff I have here. What'll I play? I've only got a few left. Hold on a second. I've got to play a little bit of Spencer Davis. Look.
Well, here's the Motown beat.
Okay. Yeah.
One, two. So the back beat's all there. It's on the quarter note. One, two, three, four. Right? So this comes from Motown.
Keep on running. Spencer Davis, who died earlier this year. That's, of course, what do you call him on vocals? Steve Winwood.
Steve Winwood, yeah. So this, you know, if you listen to Stevie Wonder, Uptight, have we got Stevie Wonder? It's the same beat. So I don't know if anyone doesn't know Superstition. That's Stevie Wonder on drums for songs. He played a lot of drums on a lot of his stuff as well. Great drummer.
So listen, it's nearly time to go. Hold on a second. I'll tell you, it is time to go, actually. So look, I'll tell you, I'm going to stop that and I better play a little bit of this. Hold on. Pains to Rose, so stranger
to you and me. Yes. And that's the reason my neighbours don't speak to me, because of that drum fill.
That's the reason. Listen,
I played it at 3 a.m. one night.
Nobody will be speaking to you if I don't play the news. So listen, look, what can I say? Seriously, Johnny, thank you so much for being with us on the programme today. And thanks to Graham Smith for getting all that together, I can tell you. Africa O'Connell, Etna O'Connell, myself, Dave Fanning. Good luck till next Saturday at 1 o'clock. That's Johnny Boyle, drum tutor at BIMM and drummer from Irish Band Picture House, and all the other ones as well. And anybody who would want to be a student at BIM, they'd be blinking, tuning into your tutorials, I can tell you. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Dave.
Stephen's nice next. That was fantastic. We should have done it longer. Dave Fanning on 2FM. 2FM.